The Echo Chamber escape hatch is open. Give us 22 minutes and we'll give you a fresh perspective. It's the Kelly Nash Podcast.
Thank you, Gary David, for that awesome introduction. My name's Kelly Nash. I think most of you probably know me personally. Otherwise, you wouldn't be tuning in. Hopefully that will change in the months and years to come. Hopefully this will become a platform that will grow and we'll have hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people listening in years to come. And the introduction kind of says it all. The Echo Chamber Escape Hatch. You know, I have made my living for many years on political talk radio. I've done some sports talk radio. I have done obviously morning show radio on both Top 40 and now for the last 10 years, country radio. And we do live in a society that as it gets more and more of what it wants, you can develop, and many of us have developed our own echo chambers so that whatever it is that we like, we will get more of it. And when it comes to sports or politics or financials or whatever, whatever theories it is that you have, you can just kind of load up on that all day long. And I think that that's a very dangerous place to be in life. I want to have a well-rounded opinion. I like to hear from a variety of different opinions, but I also like it to be civilized. Not to say that it doesn't get heated sometimes, but it should always be civilized. So that's part of what I'm hoping this podcast will do. You know, it's funny as we talk about how it's life caters to us more and more every year. One of the things that I have found lacking that used to exist years ago was, more intellectually stimulating discussions rather than two people either opposing each other and just screaming at each other or two people agreeing with each other and then mocking the other side that doesn't agree with them. I hope that, that's my hope for this podcast. Also, I'd like to, when I say well-rounded, I don't just mean, you know, whether it's a political position or whatever, but it could, I definitely want to make sure that we're talking a lot about spirituality, that we're talking about finances, that we're talking about leisure activities. You know, I want this thing to be something that, if, like the things that if you give us 22 minutes, and by the way, I did steal that. For those of you who are not familiar with that slogan, it's an old radio, news radio thing. They used to say, you give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the world. Hopefully this podcast will run about 22 minutes. And also, the other thing you need to know is it's going to be a weekly podcast. I wasn't planning on launching this thing for until after the first of the year because, you know, as the holidays are coming up, I've got lots of things going on, some traveling that to be done and those types of things. But so I'm not sure how many I'm going to do between now and the end of the year. But after, once we get into 2021, the idea would be probably every Thursday do a podcast. And preferably, as I learn more about technology, my wife is the expert on this sort of stuff, we'll be doing it on YouTube live. And we'll also, I think, be doing it on Facebook Live, maybe Twitter Live. I don't know how to do all that sort of stuff yet, but I will, because that's one of the things about this podcast. Hopefully, we'll all grow together. We'll all learn things together. So the reason I'm dropping this podcast early is because my first guest on this new podcast is a gentleman who I just discovered watching television the other day. And I said, man, this guy is fascinating to me. And I'd love to get him on that show. So I reached out to him. He's a professor at Georgetown University, and he was ready to go like right now. And he was, so we did it. We recorded this, I guess, 2 days ago and, or maybe yesterday. I lose track of the days. That's another thing you'll learn about me. anyway, he also wanted a copy of it. So I've already posted the interview on our YouTube channel, which I believe is Kelly Nash Radio on YouTube. I really should know that, but I believe it's Kelly Nash Radio if you want to see the podcasts as they come down. But anyway, so with that in mind, I figured, well, we might as well get the audio version of it up as soon as possible as well. So with that being said, please interact with us on social media, whether it's Facebook, Kelly Nash Radio, Instagram, Kelly Nash Radio, Twitter, Kelly Nash Radio, Parler, just Kelly Nash. I could have got Kelly Nash Radio. I probably should have done that, but I just went with Kelly Nash because I used to be Kelly Nash on everything. And then some people, it's a long story. I'll get into that some other time. But anyway, it's K-E-L-L-Y Nash, N-A-S-H Radio on most social media platforms. And welcome to the first of what hopefully will be many, many, many podcasts to come. And I'm thrilled to say that we have a sponsor. That's true. The Kelly Nash Podcast. The first ever sponsor. This could be a historic moment. The first ever read for the first ever sponsor of the Kelly Nash Podcast is New American Insurance. At New American, they understand that competition always benefits an educated consumer. So you need to get educated and you need to get some competition going. So how do you do both? You go to newamericaninsurance.net. What's going to happen when you get there? Well, they're going to find out what your insurance needs are. Do you need just enough car insurance to make you legal? Or do you need so much car insurance that, you know, it's like I can't be sued in any situation or whatever? They'll find out what your needs are, whether it's home or auto or whatever. And once you put in what you need, then they will go ahead and they work with all of the top insurance companies. I've seen like the Hartford and Aetna. You name the big insurance companies, they're there, and dozens more that I've never even heard of. They'll find all the different insurance options for you. They'll present you with the pros and the cons, the best options that you can have. So you're getting educated and you've got the competition going. And again, home, RV, boater insurance, renter insurance, whatever it is that you think about insurance, log on to newamericaninsurance.net.
Hello, and welcome to another exciting interview. And it is a thrill for me to welcome a man who I literally just discovered this past weekend. I was watching a Curiosity Stream, which is a fantastic channel. If you haven't seen it, look for it. And there's they have these little like 3-5 minute type of buffers sometimes between shows or whatever. And I saw this professor come on and start speaking, and you know, I'm paying attention. And the more he's talking, the more my ears are perking up. I'm like, this guy is saying the things that I have felt all along, and yet he studied it. He has research. He understands what I'm talking about even better than I would ever understand it. And his name is Professor Mogadam. He is with the University of Georgetown. And Professor, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's an honor and pleasure to be with you.
Well, and again, it's a thrill for me to have you just take a few minutes out of your day to speak with us. So the conversation that you were having on the Curiosity Stream was basically talking about how in culture, and I don't know if this is a Western culture thing or if this is just a universal thing, where we're taught to celebrate our uniqueness, our individualities, and yet that works to the detriment, it seems, of especially minority groups, because they need to assimilate into the mainstream. And I was hoping you could talk a little bit further about that.
Thank you. Yes, the argument I've made is about the situation of minorities, particularly in Western societies, but it's a international, it's a global issue. You know, how should we organize ourselves as human societies, especially if we're interested in becoming more democratic? And this is a topic I've discussed in my recent book, Threat to Democracy. One of the threats to democracy that I see is the constant focus on divisions and differences. The celebration of differences as a way of giving rights to minorities in particular. Well, the idea behind this seems very positive, doesn't it? Let's celebrate our differences. Let's see how we are all different and give pride to people because of their differences. That seems wonderful. But in practice, what I've argued is that the research shows the minorities that have come under this celebration of differences focus have actually not done very well. Some of them have done fine because they're at the top of the heap. They're the ones who represent each minority group, and they love celebrating differences. But for the majority of minority group members, celebration of differences has not done very well. So I know that multiculturalism is fashionable, and the assumption is that multiculturalism is good for minorities. But in practice, I have argued that research is showing the reverse. That if you look at educational achievements, in particular, multiculturalism has not done the job.
Now, Professor, are we talking about like a period of time here, like the last 15, 20 years that we're looking at? Are we talking about all the way back to like the 50s? What are we looking at here?
We're looking at the multicultural movement from the 60s and the celebration of differences and the expectation that the best way forward for minorities is to emphasize how they are different. Yeah. Now, the alternative that I've suggested on this is instead of multiculturalism, I've argued in my book, Threat to Democracy, that instead of multiculturalism, we should highlight omniculturalism. Omni meaning all.
So the way I would look at that, and maybe I'm not completely grasping it, but like I have a grandfather who moved here from Italy. And when his family arrived, they had to swear an oath to the United States. And his parents taught him, we don't want you speaking Italian around the house. We want you speaking English. And the whole family basically is almost like they tried to cut off their Italian heritage. They wanted to focus on being Americans. If I guess the same would be true if I moved to Italy, then I should stop speaking English. I should try to learn Italian and try to fit in with the Italians. Is that what we're looking at?
Well, that's part of what we're looking at. But let me explain omniculturalism and how it would work.
Okay.
First of all, there would be two phases. In phase one, when children are in the early stage of development until about the age of 12, the focus would be on how human beings are all similar. And in fact, we human beings are all similar. If you look across ethnic groups, the overpowering similarity is important. Human beings are very similar to one another. And the focus there would be to teach the child that every human has basically the same characteristics, the same potentials. Just because you're born in one ethnic group rather than another does not mean that you cannot compete in education, that you have to go into sports or go into entertainment or anything else. You can compete with anybody else in education. You are as good as anyone else, and you are a human being and have the characteristics of all humans. At a second stage, past the age of around 12, yes, we introduce the idea that there are also group differences. But what I'm emphasizing is that we first teach children the fact that all human beings have the same capabilities, the same capacities, and we stop emphasizing the differences. Right now, as soon as a kid enters into the basic school level, whether it's elementary school or even before that, we start telling them about how they're different, how they need to do different things, how they need to celebrate their differences. And I think this is not good for democracy.
Now, is this a Western culture phenomena, or is this happening all over the world right now, this multiculturalism?
Multiculturalism very much began as a movement in the West to try to help minorities, and the intentions were excellent. Now, multiculturalism is actually being also influential in non-Western countries. And it's spreading around the world.
Now, you have a book called Risk to Democracy.
Threat to Democracy.
How is this multiculturalism? So if I'm raised to believe that because I, you know, have an Irish background and I have whatever it is, that that makes me unique and different, how is that a threat to democracy?
Well, the emphasis on differences, the emphasis on gaps between groups, I believe this is a threat to democracy because it is balkanizing society. It is leading to the treatment of groups as being different and groups seeing themselves different. I think that democracy needs a perspective that says we're all human beings. We all have the same rights and duties. We all have the same basic potentialities. Just because you're born with an Irish background or African-American background or whatever it is, that doesn't make you less or more capable. That group membership is not the key. So I think it's important for democracy to stop balkanizing, to stop separating groups, and to focus on our common humanity.
Now, have you had an opportunity to do any research, or maybe is anyone else doing research to see if people, like, because we're talking about something that's been going on now for decades. I remember, I guess it would have been in the mid-90s, the first time I heard there was, and I guess it's still probably being thought of, that the idea that in school we should have Ebonics, meaning because, you know, inner city black children chose to speak a different style of English, that should actually be taught as a legitimate form of English. And I remember thinking, this is insanity. You're going to set them back. They'll never be able to compete in the mainstream job markets. But is that the sort of thing we're looking at as well?
Well, that's an aspect of it. What I'm saying is that there are certain types of celebrations of differences that actually set minorities back.
Okay.
I'm saying that if you want minorities to actually compete in education and do well, you've got to emphasize commonalities. You've got to emphasize that we're all human beings capable of exactly the same abilities and potentialities. And I'm not just talking about ethnic minorities. I'm also talking about poor whites.
Sure.
There is a huge disadvantage to being poor, and you can be a poor white and be cut out of the mainstream. What we've got to teach people, whether they are white, brown, black, or whatever they are, is that, look, you're a human being, you have certain potentialities, that you don't have a shortcoming. What you've got to do is think of yourself as somebody who can compete in the mainstream. And that message is being lost. It's being lost, and it's damaging democracy as well.
Wow. So these are your recommendations to try to help alleviate the situation. Is it getting any traction? Are there school groups or anybody trying to apply this?
Well, it's certainly getting some traction in the sense that when I talk about this, when people read my book, Threat to Democracy, they certainly resonate with the idea. But it's the beginning. I have done research on this. We did a survey with 4,000 Americans and found that actually there's a lot of support for omniculturalism if you present people with these arguments, they get it.
Yeah.
But one of our challenges is that multiculturalism has become so fashionable, and it is seen as politically correct. And if you attack multiculturalism, then that's not seen to be good. And this is a problem. Look, I'm a minority myself. I can play the minority card for sure. But what I'm saying is you have got to emphasize common human characteristics first give priority to that. Otherwise, what you're going to end up doing is you're going to sidetrack minority kids. And that is what we are doing in education right now. Right now, when you send a minority kid to the ordinary schools, they get sidetracked with all this differences emphasis. They get sidetracked, so they begin to imagine that they can't compete. They're different.
Well, and it resonates with me, and I'm sure it resonates with a lot of middle-class Americans, but it would seem that the people who are preaching multiculturalism are probably your coworkers, a lot of academia, intellectuals, that crowd. And then people like myself, so we feel mentally inferior when somebody who has a bunch of degrees after their name says, well, you don't understand. Multiculturalism is better, and so on and so forth. Are you getting pushback from some of your coworkers?
Well, I certainly don't have an easy time when I make these arguments in academia. And I would say I don't have an easy time with elite minorities, because the elite minorities are making a living out of this.
Sure.
You know, that's what they do. They love multiculturalism because they become the speakers for each minority group. But the fact is that the masses of minorities who are ordinary people suffering this problem, they're not making progress. Look at our education system. Look at our education performance. Look at the way in which huge numbers of minorities are failing in our schools. And again, I emphasize, this is also something that I would say poor whites in America needs to benefit from, because it's not just a matter of minorities, it's a matter of poor whites as well.
Professor, you're doing some brave work. You are up against a ton of groupthink, and groupthink is a dangerous thing in this country or anywhere. And I appreciate you being a bold voice out there. And so I'm glad I could give you a small platform. I hope you get bigger platforms in the not too distant future. And I encourage everyone to go get your book, Threat to Democracy. I imagine it's available on Amazon and better bookstores everywhere.
Yes, sure. Absolutely.
Well, thank you for taking some time to speak with
us
today.
Thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak. It was a pleasure and honor. Thank you very much.
God bless. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Sir, I appreciate it. I'll email you a link if you'd like.
Great. Thank you very much. And you're certainly correct in that I get a lot of interesting pushback, but that's life.
Yeah. Well, again, people like myself or, those of us who are not at that level, when people of your level talk down to us and say, you don't understand, it's like, maybe I don't understand.
No. I I find that people in your position often understand very well. You know exactly what's going on, and you should never be intimidated by degrees and stuff like that.
Are you familiar with the economist Thomas Sowell?
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah.
So I've read some of his books, and I've, when you were talking about the poor whites, I was reminded of his argument about how poor whites in Britain are very similar in class to blacks in America, and that the in school, that the kids who start to do well in school are actually sometimes physically abused by their classmates.
Yes.
So it becomes, you got to just keep it quiet. Say, I'm going to be a soccer star. Here it's, I'm going to be a football or a basketball star, or I'm going to be a rap artist or something to that
stage. Right.
They don't want to, their classmates are prohibiting them from maybe thriving as doctors or economists or whatever else they can do.
Yes, yes. I studied in England, so I get that immediately. There's a class-based thing, just as there is an ethnic-based thing over here. But it's also, as I emphasized, it's also something that impacts poor whites over here.
Sure.
You know, I am all for helping poor whites to come into the system, because they're suffering just as much as anybody else.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're a minority. If you're poor, life is very difficult. And if you're not trying to compete in the mainstream, It's almost impossible to become a rap star.
Right.
A football player. And even then, because of your lack of education, often they blow all that money and their quality of life is substandard. Their life expectancy is very short. It's not a good deal.
No, it's not. Well, it was great to talk, and thank you very much. I look forward to the link. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, sir.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.